Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And for this week, I think we need to focus back on the US. There wasn't a lot of South African data, economic data released last week. So the focus is really on some of the updated information coming out of the US, particularly around the performance of their service sector, which has moderated. It hasn't necessarily started to decline, but it's certainly not as robust as it's been in the past. And that is creating some concern, given that you've got the tariffs being implemented and a high degree of uncertainty regarding generally economic policy. The other area of discussion, I think, has got to do with U.S. Trade balance. They clearly are importing a lot less in recent months. That's partly to do with the tariffs, but also partly to do with the fact that they increased imports dramatically in the first 3 months of the year in order to build up inventories ahead of the tariff increases. So I think it might be useful to just provide an update on where we are in terms of the tariffs, and in terms of what sort of effect we think that's going to have on the US economy and what we'll be watching. And then we'll pick up if there's any economic information on South Africa during the course of next week. The latest round of US tariffs came into effect on Thursday, the 7th of August. And so that has given us a little bit more, certainty around the level of tariffs that the US is imposing. Having said that, there are a number of, actually a very wide range of outstanding issues. Some of that relates to tariffs on semiconductors, some of it relates to the pharmaceutical industry, and then some of it relates to a whole range of countries that are still trying to negotiate some sort of deal or to get some reduction in the tariffs that they are currently facing. For example, the tariff for Switzerland went up to 39%, and they had made efforts prior to that to try and get a deal done. That was obviously rejected by the US, and so the US imposed this 39%. Last week, the authorities from Switzerland had re-engaged with the US to try and lower that 39%, and they couldn't reach an agreement, and so that 39% at this stage persists. And there are many countries that are in a similar position where they're trying to get a negotiated outcome. Having said that, at this stage, the effective tariff in the US sits at what we think is 18.6%. And if you consider that last year, the average effective tariff in the US was less than 3%, that's a massive increase in the overall level of import tariffs imposed by the US. We have seen quite a lot of fluctuation in US imports. Initially, in the first 3 months of this year, imports surged dramatically as companies built up stock ahead of the tariff increases. And then in the 3 months after that, there was pretty much no increase in US imports as companies then ran down inventories, I guess hoping that the tariffs would be negotiated substantially lower. As it's turned out, the tariffs have ended up being fairly meaningful, and going forward, companies will now resume imports at a higher level, and obviously that's going to create additional cost pressure. We are at this stage unsure how those costs are going to be dealt with. We know that companies are trying to absorb a portion of those cost increases, but I guess that won't persist on an ongoing basis, and there will be a tendency for companies to try and pass these cost increases on to consumers. And the extent to which they do that, then obviously you'll get some increase in the general price level and some sense of higher inflation. At this stage, we don't think that that increase in inflation is going to become persistent and self-reinforcing. We think it will be temporary and obviously last well into next year, but then it should start to dissipate. In the meantime, the US economy has clearly lost momentum. The underlying growth rate sits at about 1%. And obviously, there will be some factors that will support that growth during the course of next year, particularly further interest rate cuts and the One Big Beautiful Bill, which has an element of tax stimulus included within that legislation. So we do think next year that US economic growth will re-accelerate, probably up to around about 1.8%. But in the short term, the economy remains under pressure, and clearly the labor market has also softened meaningfully. We haven't got to a point where companies are cutting jobs, so we haven't seen any meaningful loss of employment, but clearly there is a hesitancy to add additional staff, and some of that, I guess, is simply a wait and see approach by companies trying to work out what the tariff environment looks like and how best to manage that. So we are in a fairly testing time for the US economy. The markets clearly are not particularly perturbed by those constraints and continue to move strongly ahead. So the market is clearly assuming that the economy will gain momentum during the course of next year, and you'll get interest rate cuts, which will also help. But I think between now and then, there's going to remain a high degree of uncertainty generally, and we've got to be aware that in all likelihood, inflation will move higher, become a little bit uncomfortable. But I think the Federal Reserve will focus more on the slowdown in activity, the softening of the labor market, and probably feel inclined to cut interest rates. And so you may have an odd situation where inflation is getting worse, but the US Federal Reserve is cutting interest rates on the basis that they believe that inflation will move higher on a temporary basis and then start to moderate next year. Clearly, there's quite a lot of risk with that type of policy approach, but I think that at this stage, that seems to be the likely direction of travel, and that's certainly what the markets are now pricing for. That's all from me for this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up again next week. Please remember that Standard Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FASE Act. Also, this podcast should not be construed as advice.